Real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
Hi, Niall. Would love your help here. I'm a single mum of two, doing, I think, an okay job raising my two kids. I have a 15-year-old girl and an 11-year-old boy. The father has been out of the picture for the last 10 years. Last I heard, he was in Oz. I try not to think about it. We're better off without him. You probably are, actually, if he's abandoned you. The only time I think about being a single parent is at times like this, when a question comes up that I don't know the answer to. My daughter wants to go on the pill to have sex with her 17-year-old boyfriend. They've been dating for 1 year. She came to me and asked me, which I was happy about, but my stomach turned at the thought of her having sex. He's a good lad. He's a really okay guy. He's in his leaving cert year and not planning on college. He wants to work and save money so he can leave the country in 2 years. Where that leaves my daughter, I don't really know. What should I do, Niall? She only has just turned 15. I'm scared to agree, but I'm scared not to agree. I would hate for her to be in a position where she might have to have an abortion. My daughter is good at school, and she wants to go to third level education to be a nurse. What do you think? What would you say if it was your daughter? Would love you to read this out on the air and get some reaction. Thanks, Lisa. Now, it's an interesting one because it's very difficult to go against the will of your child, because if you do, they can rebel. And the very fact that your daughter came to you, you know, rather than just doing it behind your back anyway, kind of shows a level of responsibility. But, and there's a huge but here, she's only just turned 15. She's essentially only been 14 a few days ago, whenever it was her birthday was. If you had said to me 14, it would be a completely different conversation. Although 15 is still a difficult conversation. She's 15 years of age. She's a child. Now, according to the law, what's happening is essentially illegal. But the law will allow 2 years, as far as I know, between two consenting people under the age of consent. 2 years. Like, for example, a 22-year-old can't have sex with a 16-year-old who's under the age of consent, because that's statutory rape. But the law does allow for a judge to use his discretion, where, say, a boy is 16 and a girl is 14, where there's 2 years between the two. Or the law doesn't allow for a position of authority. So, for example, if it's a school teacher or somebody that's her senior in authority, and that might be more than, or that would be 2 years older, it's considered to be statutory rape. So the law is quite complicated around things like this. But technically speaking, the 17-year-old having sex with your daughter, who's just turned 15, and I don't know what his date of birth is and her date of birth is, but if he's more than 2 years older than her by months, he's committing what they call statutory rape. Now, of course, I would be completely hypocritical because most of us were probably involved in statutory rape, if you really think about it, if you go back in time. Because the majority of people, if we go back in time, started our sexual relationships in and around 16 years of age. Because the average age for losing virginity in Ireland is 16. And generally speaking, girls went out more so many, many years ago with men who were older than them. Because there was always an age gap. Men tend to, you know, look for a younger wife, whereas women tend to look for a more mature and older partner. And that's just life. That's just the way nature works. When women tend not to look for a man who's younger than her. I would be fair to say, Jane, would you go for an older man? Yeah. Oh, your boyfriend is 5 years younger than you. Okay, that would be really unusual. That wouldn't be the norm. No, but that's not really unusual, but it's not the norm. She says it's ideal. It keeps her in the driver's seat. Anyway, but generally speaking, the idea is women usually go for an older man, men go for younger women. That's normally the way it is in life, isn't it? And so we don't take that too seriously unless we have a problem with it. But there is a problem here. This is a 15-year-old child. So what do you do? Do you say, well, I'd much prefer her to be on the pill. If she's going to have sex, I might as well supervise it in some sense, have her on the pill so she doesn't come home pregnant in 9 months' time. Or do you turn around and say, no, you're not going on the pill, and how dare you even think about having sex at 15 years of age? And talk to the parents of the 17-year-old boy and say, what's your son up to? Let me know what you think. The number is 087-188-0008. Let me go to Siobhan. Siobhan, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall, how are you?
Good, nice to talk to you, Siobhan. Siobhan, this is a really difficult situation. Do you have daughters in and around that age?
I do. I have a 16-year-old girl and a 15-year-old girl.
Okay, so your 15-year-old girl comes to you and says, ma'am, My boyfriend and me, you know, the lad that I've been with for the last year or so, you know, we're thinking of having a sexual relationship, ma'am. Really awkward. Ma'am goes all red and gets embarrassed. And I want to know, can you bring me down to the doctor so I can go on the pill, please?
Yeah.
But what happens?
You're going on the pill.
After Siobhan has picked herself up on the floor, what would you do?
It's sickening. It is sickening when you're looking at them and thinking, God, they're so young. And when you look back to yourself, how young you were, perhaps, and then when you have a daughter the same age, you know, you're thinking, God, I was really young, wasn't I? I would say to this lady, her, brilliant that her daughter has come to her and said this. Isn't that great that she's able to do that? And it you know, at the end of the day, Niall, it is sickening. Rightly or wrongly, you have to protect your children. And they are children. Both of them are children. But when they are in these relationships at this age, the feelings, they're so powerful, aren't they?
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
They're so, so powerful. And I did put my daughter on the pill. I absolutely did. Because, you know, if, at the end of the day, if she gets pregnant, she is going to have to deal with that.
It's life-changing. Life-changing. Yeah.
Life-changing. Either way, it's absolutely life-changing. Mm. And
I mean, I don't mean to pry or be personal, but do you remember when your sexual relationship started? At what age were you?
I do remember. Do I want to say it on the radio?
Well, no, then don't say it. No, don't say it if you don't want to, please.
I wasn't far off this girl's age. And I'll tell you truthfully, I had a boyfriend at the time who was just a year older than me. And I was absolutely mad about him.
Smitten.
If you'd have asked me at that time how long I was with him, I would have told you how many months, minutes, hours, down to the seconds, you know. And I was absolutely crazy about him. And I would have done anything. I would have done anything. Because what he was saying to me and the feeling that I had, you know, when he was saying these nice things to me.
Yeah.
Now I say to my daughters now, don't fall for that. And I remember I grew up, I've two older brothers. And actually my brothers were brilliant because one of them, he had lots of different girlfriends and the other one didn't. And I remember a girl knocked on the door one day and one of my brothers was in the sitting room with his arm around one girl. Well, she left. 15 minutes later, the door went again and another girl's in. And he's sitting on the couch and he's got his arm around that one. And he was only 2.5 years older than me. And they would say to me, you know, Siobhan, when a lad says this here, it's bull. Don't listen to it. Don't listen to it.
And you've seen your brother using women. Yeah, you've seen your own brother using women, essentially. Yeah.
I've seen him doing it. But I think you have to protect your own children. And that for me was the bottom line. I didn't want my daughter. She wasn't mature enough, I don't think, to be, you know, doing anything.
Yeah.
But she certainly wasn't mature enough to be, you know, having a baby. My God, absolutely life-changing for her. Now, as it happens, she's no longer in that relationship and she hasn't bothered since. But when I was that age, I remember, I hope my boss isn't listening.
Well then don't say anything too personal in case your boss is listening.
But I did it the once, right? And I said, what the heck is all that about? No, thanks.
Yeah.
And then I didn't bother then for like 4 more years.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It is
a bit of an anticlimax when you're that age.
It is.
Be honest with you.
Oh, God. Yeah,
what's all
is,
the panic about? Yeah.
Of course. And then you get dumped.
Yeah.
You know? And then you realise, oh, God, yeah, that's what they were after.
Because a lot of young lads, I can tell you from my day as being a young fella, a lot of young lads, you know, they go with a girl for 2 or 3 months until they get the prize, so to speak, right? The reward.
Yeah.
And then they kind of, oh, well, done that now. There's no more a challenge in that relationship. And they move on to the next one. And it's horrific. I know that's part of human nature. I understand that people use and abuse each other. But I think it's so wrong. But lads do it. Not every lad, by the way, to be fair. Not every lad does that. But a lot of lads do that.
Of course they don't, but a lot of them do. I remember my mother at the time, you know, she said to me, Siobhan, you know, it's a gift. And, you know, even if a lad, say you had a birthmark on your back, that's how my mother used to go on, say if you had a birthmark on your back and a lad seen that and he told other lads, I don't have a birthmark on my back, but this is just what she was saying. She said, he'll tell a fella that you have a birthmark on your back and the only way he'd know that is if he has your top off. And she was going, like, it's like a bottle of perfume. And I was like, what is she talking about? This woman's lost the plot. And then my father just shouted out, Siobhan, you keep the bone and the dog will follow.
Yeah.
And that's what he used to say to my sister and I. But look, this, they're going to do it anyway now. And you're not going to be with your children all the time. And when I did it, I didn't do it in my own house either. You know, so yeah. they're going to other places.
Well, isn't that an argument we use all the time? And sorry, Tina and Tommy, I'll be with you in a second. But isn't that an argument when we have the debate around, you know, young people drinking, for example? You know, parents will say, well, look, I'll buy them a couple of bottles when they're 15 or 16, as long as they're doing it in the house. I'd prefer them to be doing it in a house out in the field somewhere. And I'd argue, well, why are you buying it at all? They shouldn't be drinking at that age, realistically.
They shouldn't be drinking. No.
People will argue, well, you should be saying to your daughter, well, you shouldn't be having sex. You're 15.
Well, they shouldn't be. Of course they don't.
It's illegal.
Apart from anything else. They're so powerful, aren't they? That's why when these youngsters are having these relationships and then they break up, you know, they feel like the end of the world, and then these kids are harming themselves because they thought, oh, you know, I loved him, but they didn't really. But you don't realise that till you get much older, you know. But
When children are young, of course, they're experimenting, and you know, a lot of it is lust apart from anything else. Yeah, it's not love. They don't really understand what love is. You know what I mean?
Of course they don't. It takes you a long time, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But I'd say protect your daughter, because at the end of the day, she's the one that will be left
high and dry.
Well,
speaking of teenage pregnancies, and Tommy, stay with me for a second. I want to go to Tina. Tina, hi, how are you?
Hey, Niall.
Now, Tina, something that's quite rare nowadays, by the way, is teenage pregnancies. It was quite common back in the 70s and 80s when we didn't have a huge amount of contraception. But you got pregnant quite young.
Niall, that's why I love you, because you always seem to hit the nail on the head. The Niall on the head with me.
The Niall on the head.
And that lady, what's her name? Is it Michelle?
Siobhan.
She's a beautiful soul. I can feel it from her already. And she has said, yes, you are. You have said everything almost that I would. I got pregnant. Yes, I did. I got impregnated with a beautiful, beautiful soul who was now 33 at the tender age of 16. The first person who ever told me that they loved me was her father, not my mother, not my father, her father. And of course, I believed it.
Mm.
Got pregnant 3 months later, had my beautiful soul, which I met today. She lives on in Ishir now. She's 33. She has a beautiful girlfriend and I adore her to bits. But I was dealt a deck of cards and I played them very well. 5 weeks after I had her with the same father, yes, I conceived her brother. So I had two children by the time I was 18, practically twins. But what I did say to my daughter when she came to me, because we're obviously best friends because we're so close in age, and she told me she liked this guy. And I said to her, I said, whatever else you do, Tracy, I said, please. And she'll tap me on the back when I talk about her all day long. Whatever else you do, I said, when you feel the urge to have intercourse with this guy, please, I said, come and talk to me first. And guess what? Because we have this beautiful, mature relationship. Yes, she did. And I put her on the pill. I explained everything to her. If you go out in the night and you get sick and you puke it up, you're fucked.
Yeah.
If you have a dose of diarrhea from a dose of food poison, you're fucked. X, Y, and Z. But this is how it works. And today, to this day, she's 33. She still hasn't made me a grandmother. Yes. And she waited 6 months before she touched this boy. Why? When you've got parents that are tuned in and that can give you the advice on the life that you've lived, listen to them. Listen to them. It's not like, oh, Tina doesn't want to be a grandmother at 50 years old. I'd embrace it. But if they're not ready.
We had a grandmother at 36 on the air going back about 4 or 5 years ago.
You know, I have a friend. Her first child got pregnant when her mother was 36, and now she has 6 beautiful babies.
Mm. So how do you deal with this situation? Because you know, in your heart of hearts, your 15-year-old shouldn't be having a sexual relationship,
of
right?
Course.
But they come to you and they say, "I'm going to have a sexual relationship," And you know as well as I do, you're done at that stage because there's nothing you can do to change that. There's nothing you can do to change that.
They're already done it. If they're coming
to be known.
Exactly, Siobhan. If you're, if they're ready, sit them down and fucking treat them like the adults they want to be. And it's like this.
Yeah.
Don't mind this pulling out shite or any other rosy promises that are given. And it's not down to men. When you're in the height of it, you're in the height of it. The best sex you'll ever have in your life is unprotected sex, unfortunately.
I'm still waiting.
It's like a fucking heroin high. But if your wife...
Tina has a way with words, hasn't she?
You'll wait.
She's got a way with men as well, I think. Jesus.
I think so, yeah.
What am I doing wrong?
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah,
let's
I think you're dead right. You know, If they're coming to you, you've got to talk their language, you know?
Yes,
and what I didn't want to do with my daughter was to make her feel any kind of shame, you know? Oh,
yeah.
You can't be 100%. Doing that.
No, I mean, look, we went through that for decades in this country where we shamed young girls for getting pregnant outside of wedlock, you know, and that didn't work out too well for us.
Because, Niall, you put them on the pill, if you're wise enough and if you talk to them like I did with mine. Like my father was saying to me when I was 13, close your legs. Don't be doing this. Go on the pill or you'll get trapped. And I'm going, what the fuck? Did I listen to my own life? I did not. But,
no.
As I said, I was dealt a hand and I played it well. But when I got hold of my daughter, I said, listen, this is how it is. If you even dream about having sex with this boy, come and talk to me first. And yes, she did. And 33 years of age, thank God, I have a 32-year-old boy. Nothing doing there. 27-year-old boy, nothing doing there. 19-year-old daughter, lesbian, never doing nothing there. A 16-year-old and an 11-year-old. I don't know what's around the corner for any of them, but you know what else? Do you know what is around the corner? Their mother.
Okay, well, do me a favor. Stay there for a second because I want to go to Tommy as well. Tommy, you want to get a male perspective on this. Tommy, hi, how are you?
Not too bad.
Sorry.
What have I got myself into here?
I have no idea. Tina is a force to be reckoned with. So you've been listening to what Siobhan said there as well. I mean, there's not a lot you can do, Tommy, once they come to you and they say this is what they want to do. They're 15, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, listening to this, like, it's, I mean, you're in the modern world. There aren't, it isn't just the pill now. I mean, the young fella should have some idea of contraception at his stage of life, and they do teach this to them in schools now, of course, as well. So, you know, it's a case of really, it's a very difficult situation for the mother and the child to be in.
Yeah.
But it is very good when you hear Siobhan, especially and Tina, how they sat down with their children and talked to them about it.
Yeah.
And I think maybe that's why they're less unexpected pregnancies now or unplanned.
Thank you, Tommy.
Can none of us talk about the fact that we should be saying to our 15-year-old, you shouldn't be having sex?
Did anyone say to you at
15
you shouldn't be having sex?
Tina, with the grace, I didn't have that type of relationship with my parents. It was a different time.
But that's my point.
It was. Well, I'm the same age as you, Niall. I was born the same month, strangely enough, as well. So we could be twins.
How old are you?
He's 60.
I'm 60,
don't lie.
he just said he was born the same month.
Be proud. How old are you?
60.
Sorry?
Same.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're 60, all the same age.
Yeah, but Tommy, do you remember, and again, if this is a personal question for anybody, I don't want people to answer it on the air if they feel it's too personal a question. Do you remember your first experience and what age were you and what age was the girl?
I was 16 and I was an older woman, to be honest with you.
Oh, okay.
And I think if my mother ever found out, she would have murdered her. But, you know, those were different days. It wasn't talked about. You know, it was all fumble and learn as you went on. You know? Luckily, I had a good teacher. But it is a case of that in now. There's so much more education around it, you know, for us. And you could understand where there were, you know, that there were an awful lot of unplanned pregnancies and an awful lot of young girls going off to England and stuff like that, which was, it's awful when you come to think of it.
God.
But it is great now that they can talk about it. Now, I have a daughter myself who is bit more than 16 at this stage. And it's having the time to speak to them when you're so busy yourself sometimes. And unfortunately, I wasn't always around. I spent a lot of time abroad on various different things. And, you know, I found in the later years that I make more time for them now, my children. And you learn a little bit more, you know, when you're, 'cause they're much more educated.
Yeah.
They know so much more. And if you don't know it, you can always Google it anyway.
This is true. Well, children have much more access to information than we ever did. You know what I mean?
But I do, though, feel that if the mother is there, is able to have a conversation with the young lad as well, that would be important too.
Yeah.
You know, if she's able to. But, you know, can't she?
She should be able to. I mean, if this young lad, 17 years of age, is going out with her daughter, who's literally just turned 14 and is now 15, I mean, or turned 15, should say, was 14. I mean, realistically, you know, there's a lot of responsibility going on here. So the mother, you know, should be turning around saying, well, I want to talk to this young man. Sorry, Siobhan, say that again.
Sorry to cut you off there. I have a son who's 17 and he'll be 18 now in July, and he had a girlfriend there for a little while, and I actually spoke to the girl, you know?
Yeah.
Because I don't know. Obviously, I'm telling my son to have respect for that girl and to not be, you know, coercing her or anything like that. Not that I think he would, but, you know, just to make him aware that, you know, if you say things to her, you know, oh, let's just do it, blah, 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 you know, that is coercive and that kind of thing. But I actually spoke to her because I don't know if she has a relationship with her mother where she can speak to her mother. So I just spoke to her privately, just her and me, and said it to her, you know, are you taking anything?
Yeah.
You know, and she said, yep, I am. I've spoken to my mum. And I just said to her, do you know how to take it properly?
Yeah.
And she was like, yeah, I know. And I said, how do you take it? How, you know, and she told me, and I said, well done, because you can't be there with them all the time. So when your children are that young, you are so responsible for them and the decisions that they make. So if your child has become pregnant, you are, and you haven't spoken to them, well, you know, you've dropped the ball there, I think, a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not getting it, parents. I'm judging parents, Siobhan, but I think...
Just something that has crossed my mind. Do you find that the lads are a little less mature? They're a little...
Yes.
You know, of course
they're
are.
They're not as aware or something. I don't know what it is that they say lads don't really mature until they're in their 20s, you know?
I mean,
you know as well as I do, Tommy, and I know from when I was a young fella and the lads around me were boasting about, you know, this girl and that girl and, you know, oh, she and the word was at the time, you know, what's the story with Jenny around the corner? Is she performing? That was a kind of line,
oh,
right?
God.
And that was a
do
line.
You know what it is now, Niall?
What?
They're getting passed around. That's the expression. Right. I've heard my daughter say this about other girls. Do you know, ma'am, the lads are saying that she gets passed around. And I say to my daughter, but you know that's probably not true.
Yeah.
You know that's probably not true. That's just lads. I said some lad didn't get what he wanted. And now that's what he's going around.
I mean, there was a girl. I remember there was a girl in our group and she was about 16 and a half and she had a baby. And which was kind of unusual, I suppose, even then, to some degree, right? But she had a baby. And every bloke of my age wanted to be with her, wanted to have a relationship with her. And the only reason was because they knew she was obviously sexually active. And by the way, that's human nature. There's part of that is human nature. It's like that Keynesian, I think it was, who did those great experiments many, many years ago on human nature. And they found that women who worked in strip clubs and lap dancing clubs made more money at a time when they were when they were ovulating. So because of pheromones that are produced and all sorts of things. It's bizarre, right? And that comes down to just human nature, right? But the same way that human nature is in boys as well, young boys, if they think at that age, because they don't know what love is, they don't really know what real relationships are about and what, you know, companionship and soulmates and all that. They don't care. all they're interested in is the you know, the intimacy part of it. You know, they think that's exciting. You know, the holding of the hands, the kissing, the snogging, the quick feel, and whatever else they get out of it. You know, so what they're doing is they're looking for somebody who they believe will do that for them. And that's what happens at that age. But it's up to us as parents to protect our children. And what's wrong with having a conversation with your daughter? And none of us are talking about that tonight and saying, you know, you shouldn't be doing it. You know what I mean?
We just, we are saying that.
Sorry, yeah, but Tommy, she's just turned 14. Well, 15. She just was 14. You know what I mean?
Yeah, her mother really needs to sit down with her and have a very long and detailed chat with her, I think. It's a pity we couldn't send the two girls around to have a chat as well.
Yeah.
But it is very young. It is very young. Now, I tell you something, Niall, as well. Years ago, and I've only been thinking about it now, a younger girl put it up to me, you know?
Yeah.
And it was an awkward situation because I worked with her family.
Right.
And she was only 16 and I would have been in my 30s at the time.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
But I did. Yeah. And she was a nice looking girl and she was a nice girl as well. But and I said to her at the time, I said, you're 16 now. If you can wait for 2 years, I'll wait for you. Now, it didn't turn out that way, and you know, that sort of way. But it was my kind of, I said to myself, no, she's too young, you know?
That would ring alarm bells for me, do you know?
Of course,
that?
Yeah.
That would ring alarm bells for me. That's it. That's a girl. Something's happening there. Something's going wrong there for her to...
want to be with a man who's double her age.
Offer herself like that. That there's something wrong there.
Yeah. I taught myself is she was a country girl. She was a little bit more naive, you know, that kind of way. And I felt, for me, if I'd taken advantage of the situation, which I wouldn't, I'd never do something like that. And it's not the only time I've turned down a younger girl or a girl in my life either. You know, I'm not going to say But I was a good-looking young fella. I had lovely black hair and grew the little moustache and I acted up to it a little bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. I never really got into that because I was in, you know, like long relationships. I had a girlfriend for like 4 or 5 years or on and off. And you know, and then I met my wife then at that stage. I was about 22, whatever it was. And then, you know, I was with her for whatever, 30 years, 35 years, whatever it was, and they got divorced. And then I went from that divorce then, you know, months and months later when I met my current wife, right? And so I've never been in that situation of one night stands and playing the field and all that. It just wasn't for me, that kind of situation, you know what I mean?
I think I have a bit
more respect for women than doing that. I don't know, maybe I'm kind of playing myself,
I don't think I ever slept with a girl on the first date, maybe once, but that was somebody that I'd known for a long time anyway. But you know, there were periods, let's be honest about it, I went abroad when I was very young. I was 16 when I arrived in England, and it was a much different situation than it was here, that, you know, some of the girls that I worked with were a bit older than me, and I'll tell you out straight, so some of them, you wouldn't believe the carry on some of them are up to, you know what I mean?
You're listening to Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
With Recruit.ie. Download our job search app today. Search for Recruit.ie in your smartphone app store.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
Hello, some of the text coming in. Somebody says, Niall, that's really unfair to suggest that young people don't know what a real relationship is. I'm not saying they don't know what a real relationship, because some of those relationships end up lasting forever, I suppose. But what I'm saying is they look at relationships differently. When you're my age, for example, you know, my wife is one of the most amazing people that I've ever met. She's supportive. You know, it's not just about intimacy and holding hands and cuddling and all that. That's really, really important, obviously, in a relationship. But it's also about supporting each other and looking after each other and making sure each other's okay and caring about each other. And I've never, ever experienced anything like that in that sense. And she's just an amazing woman. Anyway, sorry, I'm going off on a tangent again. Stay there, Tommy. Sorry, what are you laughing at, Siobhan?
Oh, because you hear me.
Yeah.
I think it's so nice how you talk about your wife, Niall. Really.
Oh,
honest to God. I hope that my husband, when I find him...
when you find him.
when I find him, that he thinks the exact same thing about me, because that is just so, so gorgeous. And she is somewhere saying the same thing about you.
Oh, she
and
is.
And that is just so lovely.
No, she
so
does.
So lovely.
Yeah, she does say the same
thing
about me.
Yeah, and why wouldn't she?
But look, I think...
I have to change the name of the show to The Love Inn.
The love. They say behind every great man is a great woman, don't they? Is that misogynistic to say behind every great man is a great woman? It's true, isn't it? But,
no. It's
with a revolver in their hand.
You're both wonderful people and you've met each other and you're wonderful to each other and I just love that. Honestly, I think it's just so lovely, really.
Okay, let me get back to the topic if I can. Let me get to Jessica, who's a little bit younger. Jessica, hi.
How are you?
How are you doing? The youngest here. We feel like, Jessica, you're like our child here on the radio. You know what I mean? We have to protect you in some way. So, Jessica, look, obviously you're not going to have a daughter 15 years of age.
I called an L one today.
Oh, did you? Right. You're not going to have a daughter 15 years of age. But what advice would you give to a mother? Because, look, it's only 10 years ago you were 15. So what advice would you give to a mother if a 15-year-old comes looking and saying, I want to have sex?
See, like when I first texted in, I thought in my head, I was like, you know what, based on my childhood, like I said, my teenage years, like I said, wasn't that long ago, it was only a decade ago, I'd say, look, at least she's being smart. She wants protection. She's not going, you know, without anything.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it is just me or if it's if it's lads that I grew around, but none of them would use protection purely for the fact that they didn't like the feel of it, which I thought was stupid. So maybe it's just the lads that I hung around with back in the day were just immature, you know what. But then I started thinking more about it and I was like, well, if she is only literally a few days past 15 and... Like you said, the fella's only 17, and I know that's a whole different kettle of fish, but that's again a bit of a for me.
Yeah.
But if I was with the mum, I'd say, look, give her a pat on the back anyway for wanting the protection, but bring her to a GP so she can hear from the professional side. Mm. And just to make sure, is this really what you want to do?
Yeah.
That would just be my honest to God advice. Get professional. Like, have a talk with it yourself, because obviously you're the mother. Like, you obviously think what you know.
Yeah.
You know in your heart, so what's best for your child. But don't be afraid then to say, look, it's a good idea. Let's go to the doctor and see what he or she thinks about it. Preferably if it was me,
nobody's, maybe I'm just an old dowry conservative. Nobody is suggesting here for a minute that we should be saying to the daughter she shouldn't be having sex. We're all saying, proceed with caution here.
That would be another part of me advice. So I'd say, look, just hold off another year or two. But sadly, it's a part of life when you're 15. Your hormones to be raging through the roof.
Mm, yeah.
Like, are we all gonna like sit here and lie and say that when we were 15?
When you were 15, Jessica, were you kind of gagging to have sex, like to have the experience that first experience? Oh, what were you?
I was in a way, yeah, but I guess I was lucky because when I was like 15, like between 15 and 16, I was kind of on and off with like the one, and here's the shocker, so everyone sit down, the one fella.
Yeah, but at that stage you didn't know you were a lesbian. Well, you didn't quite understand or realise, yeah.
No, the flag hadn't officially been raised yet.
Yeah. Yeah.
For lack of better words.
So you experimented on a few men first to see how useless they were. Yeah.
That's what it is, yeah. And I was like, oh, do you know what? Can't be dealing with this.
Yeah, what's that thing? I'm not into that yoke. Anyway.
No, but honest to God, my genuine advice for the mother would be talk to her yourself. Maybe advise her just to hold off for that extra year or two. It's not going to kill them both. And then, like I said, bring it to the GP and get professional's advice.
Mm. And did you ever talk to your... Did you talk to your parents about sex? Did you have a good enough relationship?
Oh, no.
Yeah, so we all assume that... I mean, this fair play to this girl. We all assume that, you know, kids will talk to their parents about sex. But a lot of kids won't, no matter how good the relationship, you might think your relationship with your child is.
I feel like it's a Pandora's box no child wants to open with their parents. It's like, no, don't want to have this conversation.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Tommy, do you have kids?
Oh, you
do. Oh, you do, of course. Yeah, sorry, you mentioned it. But do they ever come to you about sex?
Yes. You know, I've had some discussions with them. I try to make a little bit of time for them, especially at a certain stage when they were a little bit younger than they are now. And that, like, what I always said to them was, you know, if you can wait, wait. If you cannot, be very careful, because it's not just unwanted pregnancy. There's also a lot of STDs out there at the moment as well. And would you believe it, Niall, actually, it's our age group that they're warning at the moment. So we're our age group are more inclined to fall into these things, you know, and think that nothing will happen.
Well, chlamydia is an epidemic, by the way.
Gonorrhea in this country has risen something like 30%.
And the danger of chlamydia is that most people don't even know they have it. And they say a huge percent of the population have chlamydia. And men will never know they have it. And women generally won't know they have it either. But the problem is it does affect childbirth, or can affect childbirth. Yeah. You know, but it is, well, it's at epidemic levels. Yeah.
Yeah, it can affect the conception as well.
That's right, yeah. The ability to have a child.
It's that's all out there, and I think that's one of the things people are not talking about.
But when you say that's more, it's more an our age group, I would have thought that would have been less in our age group, because our age group are not as, I suppose, they're not running around having sex with everybody. When you're younger, you're kind of experimenting a bit more, aren't you?
Yeah, well, I suppose there's a lot more people on the rebound as well.
Oh, right, okay.
You know what I mean? It's like our age group now.
Tinder, yeah.
People that had been in relationships and now getting into new ones.
Yeah.
And of course you have Tinder and all these things out there as well. And people think that they're not susceptible to these things in later life, but they are.
Of course they are.
So that is a problem. But getting back to the topic itself, 15, it's very young, and it is a case of, you know, for a male or a female, that they should be able to talk to their parents. The problem is if they are not. But there are...
But Jessica couldn't talk to her mom and dad about it. Mind you, I'm sure she had a good relationship with them, but she's just obviously a bit confounded.
But it was just that to me, it was like, I'd rather just live with the idea that I was delivered by a stork.
What are you talking about, Jessica? You were delivered by a stork.
Don't need.
Yeah. You were delivered by a stork.
It is, but
images I don't need.
Well, I suppose it is difficult to speak to your parents, but it is, like, we've moved on a bit now. We're not, you know, hopefully that younger people now are able to. But there are other people that you can talk to as well. There are good guidance people in the schools and stuff like that as well, and there are good teachers out there. So I suppose sex education is the big thing there.
I agree with, you know, improving the sex education to an appropriate age group, by the way, but not... I don't agree with some of the nonsense that are coming out with primary schools. Nonsense. But I do.
They do it in the last year, don't they, of primary school. I remember my boy, he did it, and they brought the parents in and they told us what they were going to be discussing with them. Now, I just thought it would be the reproductive, you know, the organs and that kind of thing. But she said they were going to discuss, I can't even say it, wet dreams with them. And I nearly had a heart attack. And I remember my young lad came in from school and... he said to me, I know what you did with Daddy, and he just legged it. And I was like, oh, my God.
Mortified.
I know what you did with Daddy. And I was like, oh, Jesus. But my my mother was pregnant and married at 16. So she wanted to protect my sister and I. She would have told us about periods and pregnancies and all that kind of thing when we were.
And do you think that's too young, by the way, at the end of primary school, which is 11 years of age? Do you think that's too young to tell a child about intercourse?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think.
No, I know they'll argue that they see it online nowadays, but here's the other argument. If you're a responsible parent, they shouldn't be seeing it online. So, you know.
No, I think it's a bit too young. Yeah. I have a daughter and she just wasn't able for that. She's only 10 months younger than him. Mm. My first two children, there's only 10 months between them. And he did it and she didn't, because she just wouldn't be able to. I never forget her jumping into the car one day. I was driving away from the house and I was just going to the shop. She jumped into the car and asked me, could she come? And she says to me, Mammy, she was about 8. And she said, Mammy, Aga said that babies come from your pee-pee. Isn't that ridiculous, Mammy? Isn't that ridiculous?
Okay.
You know? And I remember thinking, oh, this poor child, her fucking life's going to be ruined, you know, when she finds out about what happens. But she was very young, you know. But now she'd buy and sell you. She's 16. Yeah. She'll be 17 now in June.
Just on what Martin was saying about STDs, by the way, the highest, well, according to what I'm reading here, the highest rate of STDs, you're going to be shocked by this, Tommy, is actually the pensioner community, especially those in nursing homes.
Yeah. Wow.
So now I'm going to get Jane to check that for me a second, but that I'm reading that here, but that's actually quite shocking.
It is shocking.
So the highest rate of STDs per head of population, obviously there's more young people with STDs than older people because there's more young people than there is older people.
You know what they
but
say?
The risk of pregnancy is
be
gone.
Be nice to your
it?
Kids because they get to choose your nursing home.
well, let me hang on. Let me go to Martin. Martin, hi. How are you?
I'm well, Niall. Good evening.
I'm kind of shocked by that statistic, by the way, about STDs at the highest rate is old age pensioners and that community.
Well, Martin, you dirty elbow,
you. Go on,
well, that wouldn't particularly surprise me, Niall, because I think we're living in a godless society.
Oh, right, okay. Okay.
Here we go.
I know, stop. Stop, go on.
Martin will bring us all down.
No, well, hang on. Martin is probably going to be the only person that will defend my argument here that we should be talking to this girl about not having sex. Go ahead, Martin, sorry.
Yeah, look, I mean, the way I view it, look, I'm not making out that I'm, you know, that I was any different. Let me just lay out my stall here, right? Yeah, I travelled Europe when I was younger. I never engaged with anyone sexually, because for me it was always going to be I would have to love the person, you know. I had a particular, I'm not going to say moral value or whatever, it was just that's how I felt about it. Yes, before my wife and I were married, I was going on 20, I was a virgin, I was about 22, she was approaching 20. Having said that, at that time, I wasn't the same person I am now. If I could go back and give myself a slap in the face and say, listen, keep it in your trousers, you know, wait until you're married, I would do that. But I think we're in a society now where, I've said to you before, Niall, I don't think that young people now have the same kind of, I'm not even talking about morals, I'm talking about street smarts, where I think particularly young girls, and particularly when it comes to social media, they're being told what they should look like, what they should eat, what they should think. It's being propagated by social media. It's being supported by the state. We've, you know, in colleges, there's promotion of, you know, condoms are being given out. It's all to do with instant gratification is now the norm. And it's instant gratification without responsibility. Now, in my opinion, this mother should be having a very long conversation with her daughter and really explaining that, you know, there is no rush on this. And this boy, and there's no two ways about it, I'm not saying that it will definitely happen, but the statistics, this boy is likely not to be the person, whether they end up married or not, this boy is not likely to be the person that this young girl ends up spending the rest of her life with. So I'm not judging. I'm just saying, I think, you know, like for me, it should be a case of being a parent and a guardian rather than being a facilitator and a friend. Having a child is the responsibilities that come with that. And quite often you can have a situation where, you know, parents will see things different. One parent will say, oh, no, it's fine. Yeah, put the daughter on the pill or whatever else. And the other either knows nothing about it, or they would, if they did know about it, they would have entirely the opposite opinion on it. But as I say, for me, it's just, you're a parent. You're a parent. Like,
yeah, but see, Martin, I understand your point of view. And I did say that all through this argument to Tommy and Siobhan and Jessica. Why is nobody saying that we should be telling the daughter she shouldn't be having sex, right? Or certainly trying to deter her from doing it. But I suppose the argument Siobhan makes, and Siobhan sounds like a really decent, good parent and a good mother.
Yeah, absolutely.
her argument, and Tommy's, and I suppose Jessica's too, to some degree, is that you can do all the talking you want, but generally speaking, with teenagers, if they've made a decision, they've made a decision. They're probably going to do it anyway. So why not protect them? Because the last thing you want is they're coming home in 9 months' time and saying, I'm pregnant, or whatever. You know, 3 months' time, saying I'm pregnant.
That's when the hormones are raging.
Mm.
Yeah.
And you're not there with them. You see, they're so powerful, these feelings. And I speak about my own experience back then when I was young, looking at this.
Oh, I was young and filled with hormones as well.
Of course, but the words that they are saying to these girls, they're making them feel that they're, and it works both ways, you know, but these boys are saying these words to these girls and they're making them feel on top of the world, like they're never going to leave them, you know, and then you're not there with them in that moment. I did say to my daughter, there's no rush. I asked her, why, are you just curious? What is it? Is he saying something to you that's making you? Do you feel him? He's going to leave you, and that you feel this is going to keep him, because it won't keep him. It won't keep anybody. He'll get what he wants. And I say this to my daughter now. She's nearly 17, you know. And then she went out on a date there a couple of weeks ago with somebody, and I said to her, you know, not to fall for them words,
false promises. Yeah,
you.
The false promises.
Yeah, you know, you know, I'm nearly saying it. I'm trying so hard not to say her name, but you know, not to be falling for that. And I'm watching her. I'm on the ball. You know, if she's telling me she's going to a friend's house, I'm checking that she's there, and you know, she's not falling for any crap. But at the end of the day, and you know it yourself, when somebody is saying these lovely words to you, it's. You know, you feel all gooey and, oh, God, yeah. And before you know it, the deed is done. So I did say all that those things to my daughter. It's only me and my children. I'm totally responsible for these kids.
Yeah.
And I fully take on board. I'm not my daughter's friend. I am her mother. And I try and guide her through life. But I know and you know that if she gets pregnant, she has to deal with that. He walks away and it's out of his mind.
That's why Martin is saying, why as parents now?
That's what I'm protecting her from.
I know, but I get the point Martin is making too. And, you know, I'm not a religious person by stretch of the imagination,
totally,
and
I
don't necessarily believe what you or believe or agree with Martin in relation to, you know, sex before marriage. Sometimes, and me and Martin may disagree on this, that, you know, you have to find out if you're sexually compatible with somebody, because sexual compatibility in a relationship is really important as well. I believe it is.
Anyway. I agree.
Yeah. So, because a lot of people who love each other, by the way, go into a relationship, get married, and then find out they're not sexually compatible. I mean, and that can destroy a marriage too. So you know, my mother used to always say, if you want to know me, come live with me.
But that's not what these teenagers are doing. They're just scratching a niche, aren't they?
Yeah, but that's all they're doing.
What's happening as well is the sex that they are having, it isn't like a 5 minute, you know, hoorah. They've got access to this porn. And actually, the sex that these teenagers are having these days is, you know, it's not just a terrible 10 minutes or whatever. It's actually, some of it is, you know, it's violent and it's what they're watching.
Yeah, and porn and pornography in this. Sorry, Martin, you want to say something quickly before I go into the break? Go ahead, a minute and a half.
Yeah, sorry, just quickly, a couple of points. That's a really valid point. You know, pornography, all these things, all the things that are being presented to young people now are to strip them of their right to live a life as a young person without all those pressures that are being put on them.
Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.